Ruth chapter 2, verse 3. Can you manage there?
So she set out and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was the clan of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem, and he said to the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered, "The Lord bless you." Then Boaz said to his young man who was in charge of the reapers, "Whose young woman is this?" And the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered, "She is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. She said, 'Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves after the reapers.' And she came, and she has continued from the early mornings until now, except for the short rest." Then Boaz said to Ruth, "Now listen, my daughter, do not go to glean in another field or leave this one, but keep close to my young woman. Let your eyes be on the field that they are reaping and go after them. Have I not charged the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink what the young men have drawn." Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should not notice of me, since I am foreigner?" But Boaz answered her, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me. And now you left your father and mother and your native land and came to a people that you did not know before. The Lord repay you for what you have done, and full reward be given to you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wing you have come to take refuge." Then she said, "I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, for you have comforted me and spoken kindly to your servant, though I am not one of your servants." And at mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come here and eat some bread and dip your morsel in the wine." So she sat beside the reapers, and he passed to her roasted grain, and she ate until she was satisfied, and she had some left over. When she rose to glean, Boaz instructed his young men, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. And also pull out some from the bundles for her, and leave it for her to glean, and do not rebuke her."
So Ruth picked up the grain in the field until evening. Then she separated the barley from the straw. The barley weighed 30 pounds. She carried it back to town. Her mother-in-law saw how much she had gathered. Ruth also brought out the food left over from the lunch Boaz has given her. She gave it to Naomi, her mother-in-law, asked her, "Where did you pick up grain today? Where did you work? May the man who noticed you be blessed." Then Ruth told her about the man whose field she had worked in. "The name of the man I worked with today is Boaz," she said. "May the Lord bless him," Naomi said to her daughter-in-law. "The Lord is still being kind to those who are living and those who are dead." She continued, "The man is a close relative of ours. He's one of our family protectors." Then Ruth, who was from Moab, said, "He told me more. He even said, 'Stay with my workers until they have finished bringing in all my grain.'" Naomi replied to her daughter-in-law Ruth. She said, "That will be good for you, my daughter. Go with the woman who worked for him. You might be harmed if you go to someone else's field." So Ruth stayed close to the woman who worked for Boaz as she picked up grain. She worked until the time when all of the barley and wheat has been harvested, and she lived with her mother-in-law.
One day, Naomi said to her mother-in-law, her mother-in-law said to Ruth, "My daughter, should I not try to find a home for you where you will be well provided for? Is not Boaz, with whose servant girls you have been, a kinsman of ours? Tonight he will be winnowing barley on the threshing floor. Wash and perfume yourself and put on your best clothes. Then go down to the threshing floor, but don't let him know you are there until he has finished eating and drinking. When he lies down, note the place where he is lying. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down. He will tell you what to do." "I will do whatever you say," Ruth answered. So she went down to the threshing floor and did everything her mother-in-law had told her. Now, when we first looked into the book of Ruth a couple of weeks ago, we dwelt on the story of Ruth herself. Somebody who was a person initially outside of God's people, but was brought into the people of God by his providence, his good grace. And despite some challenges, Ruth was... several people tried to put Ruth off, chiefly Naomi herself. But Ruth was kept by God's amazing grace to overcome all obstacles that were put in her way and become a member of the people of God. Quite an attractive character in many ways, Ruth. But today we're looking at somebody who's perhaps less so. That's Naomi, Ruth's mother-in-law. Naomi is different. Different from Ruth because she grows up amongst the people of God. But she goes astray. Ruth never had the opportunities and the privileges of growing up in the people of God that Naomi did. But whereas Ruth was brought in, Naomi went out. She goes astray. Goes astray geographically. She leaves the promised land which God had given to his people and goes to another land of Moab. But she goes astray in her heart as well, doesn't she? I used a phrase when I was speaking a fortnight ago about Naomi being miserable as sin. And somebody liked my turn of phrase, so I'm using it again. Here we are in Ruth chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. You can see how far astray Naomi has gone. Verse 20 of Ruth 1. People are saying, "It's Naomi." "Don't call me Naomi," she said. "Call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. It's not my fault, it's him. He's made my life bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty." It's his fault. What the Lord has brought me back empty. She's got Ruth with her. She's got this devoted daughter-in-law who's wandered with her through troublesome terrain and has left her own people. But Naomi said, "He's brought me back empty." Well, that might have cut Ruth to the heart, might it? "Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me. It's all his fault." But, things change. Naomi is brought back into full fellowship with the people of God. This is a story of somebody's spiritual restoration. Their well-being as a member of the people of God is restored by God's good grace. That's a familiar theme in both Testaments, really, of people who've wandered away from God, but in his mercy and grace, they're brought back. We're going to look at that this morning and see the agents by which she is brought back and the rewards and blessings that she receives. Why is it so important to be brought back amongst the people of God? Why is it so important for Naomi to return to that where she once was? Because it's only amongst the people of God that you can find him truly worshipped. Worshipped in the way he set forth. In a way that pleases him. At one stage, Naomi is in Moab, where there's another god, Chemosh. She might have been able to sort of hold on to her belief in Jehovah, Yahweh, as I would call him. But it would be tough, wouldn't it? How much better to be back amongst loads of other people who are sharing your worship of Yahweh? That's why it's important to go back. It's the only place, only when you go back will she hear God's commands, read and taught. You know, there's the word of God written down. Wouldn't be found in Moab. It'd be found in the Promised Land. And if she was back there, she could hear it read. And she could hear it taught from, not the false ideas and bad teaching around her. So it's important for her to go back for that reason. Now, God gives blessings to all he's made. But he especially blesses his own people. And he blesses them with salvation. The hope of forgiveness in this life for eternal life. And that message of salvation, would only be sounding out back in the Promised Land. It's important, therefore, for Naomi to be amongst the people of God. Those who are saved from sin, those who are saved for eternal life, need to be walking in God's purposes. And one of the purposes that he lays before us in the Scriptures is to be with one another. The Naomi's time, it meant being actually physically in the Promised Land. Today, that's different. We have the Spirit with us wherever we go. But the blessing of being back amongst God's people is something that we should not minimise. So let's follow Naomi's story and see how she comes on. And in any case of return to health, we have to begin with the idea that prevention is better than cure. Why was Naomi in this predicament in the first place? Now, she'd gone away from the Promised Land, hadn't she? That indicates that she didn't have a trust in God's faithfulness. Now, you're going to tell me, and you're quite right, Elimelech, as the head of the household, as the husband, bears the prime responsibility. And that's absolutely right. You know, as a husband and as father, he has the responsibility for keeping them on the right track. They say that young men are reluctant to take responsibility these days. Don't know. But as a father and as a husband, you have to take responsibility. And Elimelech was chiefly responsible for the situation that Naomi and the others find themselves in. But there's no record of any dissent from Naomi in that decision that they took. Elimelech went with his wife and two sons to the country of Moab. No indication that Naomi said anything different. But we can't argue from silence. You can fill in there whatever you want to. So is there anything that Naomi says that indicates she was happy with that decision? Well, the first time she does speak out loud, or the first time we hear much about her, is in verse 6 of verse 1 of chapter 1. When she heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, Naomi prepared to go back home. It's the thought of food that leads Naomi to want to go back home. She's been without the word of God. She's been without the worship of God. She's not been with the people of God. But she doesn't seem to have missed them. Ah, it's food she wants. This is not telling us not to have meals here that we encourage people to come to. We do enjoy that. But it indicates in Naomi's part a material attitude to God, doesn't it? I love God providing he gives me food, providing I get what I want from him. It's material considerations that had led them away in the first place, and it's a material change that leads Naomi to think, perhaps I'll go back amongst the people of God. Is that where we are? We'll follow God, we'll be with the people of God if we get what we want. But why was there a famine in the first place? Why had they left in the first place? Well, in Deuteronomy chapter 28, God tells his people of wonderful promises of fruitfulness in the land where he's going to give them, if they're obedient. Your harvests, your crops, your flocks, presumably your chickens, will flourish in that land if you are obedient. But in that same chapter in Deuteronomy, he warns them that if you're disobedient to me, then that won't happen. You won't get a rich harvest. Your flocks will not flourish. Well, did Naomi and Elimelech think, hello, we're not flourishing here? I wonder if that's because there's disobedience. The time of Judges, we're told, is when this story happens in Ruth chapter 1 and verse 1. The time of Judges, we're told, at the end of the book of Judges, is when people did what was right in their own eyes. We're told also that the time of Judges was time when foreign armies came in and destroyed the crops and stole the flocks. And those armies came in at the hand of God and the sovereignty of God because the people had wandered away from him in their hearts. Did Naomi and Elimelech never think that these man-made or natural famines should lead them to examine themselves, to consider whether they were walking in the right way and whether their land and people were walking in the right way? It should have led to repentance, not a running away from God's land, to a land of other gods where they might hope to get some bread, but to think, why? Why was this situation of famine? It's the power of the material mindset, isn't it? In the West in particular, we've enjoyed tremendous material blessings. Do we acknowledge that they come from God and that we can be taken away from us if we will not walk in the ways that God commands? No, our attitude is much more, I ought to be blessed by God. I'm not being blessed by God, and therefore it isn't fair. So often, we have nothing to do with God. People around us will have nothing to do with God until they need to blame him for something. Often for the consequences of their own errors. Why didn't he stop me? Why didn't he stop me doing that? Well, he didn't stop because you didn't want him to. And he's let you have what you wanted. So, about the question, why is Naomi in the state she's in? Well, the evidence of chapter 1 is that she's not examined herself when things get tough, but she's rather grown angry with God. Beware. When things go wrong, it's easy to blame God, but that's when faith takes a firmer hold. We only learn to trust the will of God when it's different from her own. But Naomi is where she is. She's away from God, away from the people of God, away from the land that God had given to his people. But God has gone there to Moab with her. And he's already demonstrating his patient, long-suffering love through Ruth. Yeah, what we've said about in verse 20 and 21 of chapter 1, she hasn't come back empty, has she? She's come back with this daughter-in-law, Ruth. So if we want to bring people back who are wandering away from God and God's people, let's look at what Ruth did for her. Ruth showed Naomi undeserved and thoroughly unexpected devotion. Love expressed in Ruth's devotion to Naomi is one of the ways which Naomi is returned to spiritual health. Ruth, and to be fair to her, Orpah initially, show real affection for Naomi. For Orpah, that has a limit. Naomi does everything she can to seem to put off Ruth and Orpah from coming back with her. And eventually, Naomi's negativity means Orpah reaches a limit and says, right, well, I will go back then. But Ruth doesn't. The person who has wandered away from God's people can be extremely negative, can be extremely hostile to those who are trying to help her. But Ruth sticks with it. She has come to appreciate God himself. And so she loves Naomi. That's the order in which it happens. Ruth sticks with Naomi. She determines to help. In the story, part of the story we read this morning, in chapter 2 and verse 2. It's Ruth who says to Naomi, let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain. You know, we need feeding. I'll do something about it. Is Naomi still moping? Ruth's taking action. She's determined to help, even though the job is quite clearly a risky one. In verse 9, Boaz has to tell Ruth, stay with my people. I've told my men not to touch you. You know, it's a bit of a risk for a young Moabitess like Ruth. And that's reinforced, isn't it? In verse 22 of chapter 2. Naomi says to Ruth, go with his girls, because in someone else's field you might be harmed. Ruth is ready to play a risky game in helping Naomi back to spiritual health. To play a part in bringing someone back to God might have risks. Hopefully not the physical ones that Ruth faces, though that may be possible. Sometimes somebody who's wandered away from God has got in with some bad company, and trying to draw them out through your love means you meet these bad actors as well. It might be physical, but it's more likely to be risky through spiritual. Yeah. You try to bring somebody back. You try to work with somebody who's wandered away, and they've got all the answers as to why they shouldn't come back and what God has done that's wrong. And if you're not careful, they can hit your heart too. So it's risky. But Ruth is up for this challenge. God has changed her life so much. She is in his care, verse 12 of chapter 2. The God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. In our desire to help others who have wandered, there must be love and devotion. First to God, but then to these folks as his people. It must be devotion, it must be an honest love. Tells them straight what's going wrong, but it has to be love. Now, Ruth is very young, very new to the faith, but she can be used. So, young folk, don't imagine that you can't be of help to us older, maybe cynical people who've been going to church for years. You can. Your enthusiasm, your clarity can help back to spiritual health some people who've lost their enthusiasm. And older folk, we've got to be prepared to be open to help from the young. Yeah? We may have the grey hairs, which scripture tells us give us wisdom, but at times we don't seem to exercise that wisdom. What is love? Love consists very much, so John tells us in 1 John chapter 5, one thing. This is love for God, to obey his commands. And this is how we know that we love the children of God. by loving God and carrying out his commands. That is love. Obedience to his commands. So though she's young, Ruth has been obedient to the promptings of the Spirit of God in her heart. But there is somebody else who's going to help Naomi back to spiritual health, who's been obedient, and that's Boaz. So alongside Ruth's loving devotion, it's Boaz's faithful obedience which helps Naomi back to spiritual health. I'm not going to say so much about Boaz this morning, because we'll look at Boaz in the third and final time we come to Ruth in a few weeks' time. But just to say that Boaz has been in Israel, in the Promised Land, all the time Naomi and Elimelech have been away. Boaz knows the family. He's a member of the clan. He will have known what has happened. You know, when they went away, he knew that. Now they're back. He learns that this is Ruth who's come back with Naomi. So he's been there in the Promised Land while that famine that took Elimelech away was taking a grip of the land. Boaz has been there through the famine. He stayed put. There's bread now, there's nice harvest of barley and wheat. But it wasn't always so, but Boaz had been there. He'd carried on. You know, he'll have suffered the consequences of other people's disobedience by staying there. You know, it'll have been tough for him. You know, famine doesn't just strike one family in a neighbourhood, it's through the land. But he didn't yield. It wasn't his sin particularly that he'd paid for. It was Israel, his nation's disobedience. But he'd stayed. And now his obedience has an opportunity to sow something else. It issues in kindness to Naomi. Naomi's a widow. Mustn't sound too Bedfordshire, must I? Naomi's a widow. And there's plenty in the scriptures to say how we should care for the vulnerable like widows. And that's what Boaz does. Boaz's faithful obedience to the words and commands of God has its role to play in returning Naomi to spiritual health. And at last, towards the end of chapter 2, we begin to find some good signs in what Naomi is doing. In verse 19 and 20, she actually invokes the Lord's name in a good way. Verse 20 of Ruth 2, Naomi says, "The Lord bless him, bless Boaz." Ah, she thinks the Lord is capable of blessing this man who is showing concern for her. And then she begins to offer good advice. Verse 22. "It'd be good for you, my daughter, to go with his girls." She's taking advice. Giving advice. And then she begins to take responsibility. Verse 1 of chapter 3. "My daughter, should I not try to find a home for you, where you will be well provided for?" Yes, she should. She's facing up to her responsibility. She's making progress. She should be the way it should be, shouldn't it? She's a lifetime of worship in Yahweh. She ought to be taking responsibility for this young woman who has left her homeland and left everything to come with her. And she is doing that. And she's got some very practical wisdom, isn't she, as Naomi? Yeah. We need to encourage this man, Boaz, to become your husband. So, perfume yourself and put on your best clothes. Look good. Bit of practical wisdom there. But Boaz's faith and integrity have affected Naomi. She knows, she's sure, she can trust this man. There she are in chapter 3 and verse 18. Naomi says, Wait, my daughter, until you find out what happens. For the man will not rest until the matter is settled today. She is now back where she should have been. Naomi is back amongst God's people, applying God's wisdom, knowing God's word, taking responsibility. That's great, isn't it? The love and devotion of Ruth and the faithfulness to God's commands of Boaz have brought her back. So, in the last scene that we have in this book, here's Naomi enjoying God's blessing. Chapter 4 and verse 16. Then Naomi took the child, what would that be, her step-grandson, I suppose, and laid him in her lap and cared for him. Now, the scriptures are very honest with us, and sometimes we don't read what we think we would like to read and would wish we could read. And at this stage, wouldn't it be lovely to hear some words of praise to God and thankfulness from Naomi? To hear her say, thank you to Ruth and to Boaz and to God. But they're not there. You know? And that's how God has left it in his word. Why? Because it's a useful reminder to us all that bringing back the wanderer doesn't always get a rewarding thank you. You know, people can take a great deal from you and be blessed by you, and they just carry on as though it was nothing. God knows, though. God knows that Naomi is back amongst his people, and that his faithful servants Ruth and Boaz have done their bit in doing that. But Naomi does show her return by exercising her devotion to this grandson-in-law, I suppose. And we ought to be pleased when we see somebody return to the people of God, even if they don't thank us for it. Love from Ruth, obedience of Boaz, sent both of them by God, the Lord, to return Naomi to spiritual health. Now today, those who are God's are always in his care, and none of them will finally be lost. He promises that in John 10:28. But the promise of eternal life in heaven is for his sheep, the people who listen to him are his sheep. Ruth listened to him when the Spirit of God moved her heart, and she responded to that, although she had no written or teaching experience to tell her that that was what was right. Boaz listened to God through his word that you should look after the widows and that you should stay in the promised land, and he exercised that obedience to God's commands, and that did Naomi wonderful good. Do we listen to God this morning? Are we listening to him each day of the week when he prompts us to think, are we one of his people? Do I need to be amongst his people? Because eternal life in heaven is for his sheep, his people. And I have to be amongst them. I have to be his. I have to have asked him to forgive my sin in order for me to go to heaven. God will keep you, and we will, you know, we long to see any of you who don't know the Lord as your Saviour. We long to see you join him. Listen to him when he calls. Listen to him as he says, ask me. Seek my forgiveness. Put your trust in me, and heaven will be opened to you. Naomi is restored to spiritual health, and she comes back to a promised land, which for all its fruitfulness will eventually fail away. God says to you this morning, come back and I'll give you an eternal life. A better promised land that will never fail.